Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out a bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial right across the river through the woods from where Granny said she was watching the inauguration festivities and the concerts all night long. And the only way she could get through it is if I got her some purple cactus desert bloom 22% in her big old 5-foot graphics. And she said, while you're at it, get me a glass of Pinot in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, direct to traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but all my friends, they come around, flats a party of rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do, shake it up. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Mafia tonight. I can't even believe what I saw, Mafia, to be honest with you. The Nets lost to the Cavaliers tonight in double overtime. 147-135, and it is beyond me how they lost that game. They were up in that game in the overtime, multiple times. They were up 5, they were up 3, and they just couldn't stop Sexton. And it was real simple. Colin Sexton had 42 points, 5 boards, 5 dimes, and he's averaging 25 on the season. The guy had 20 points in the 2 overtimes, for Christ's sakes. And all I have to say is the Nets don't play any defense. It's the same thing I was saying on Coast to Coast. It's the same thing I said on Farrell on the bench last night. The problem with this team is not scoring. They put in 135 tonight. And in the second overtime, they were completely gassed, by the way. They were shot. And they should have won it at the end of regulation. They should have won it in the first overtime. And they couldn't get it done. And Colin Sexton took the game over. I mean, how do you let a guy have 20 points in double overtime? He had 20 in the first and second overtime. And the problem I have is, you know, I get it. The Nets are incredible. Durant had 38, 12-8. Irving had 37, 2-3, and Harden had the triple-double, 21, 10 boards, 12 dimes. And so look at that, 38, 37, and 21 for the big three. Green added 16, Jordan 13, and nobody else did jack. Harris was bunked, 2-for-10 from the floor in the game in 42 minutes. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And it's amazing to me, they shot 45%, 36% from downtown, but they lost because they let the Cavs shoot 51% and 50% from downtown. I mean, my God. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Sirius Satellite Radio, SXM, Stylin', Channel 204, the Sports Grid Radio Network, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California, from Baja to the Canadian Rockies, what's happening out in Cali, and, of course, Sports Map Radio and Sports Byline USA and Armed Forces Radio. Good to have you with us on the bench. I'm Pharrell with Mafia. I'm just talking about the Cavaliers' double overtime win over the Nets tonight, 147-135. And you cannot let a guy have 20 points in the two overtimes. One guy, a guard, and I mean, it's just flat out simple. How in God's name do you have a guy have 38, a guy have 37, a guy have 21, 10 and 12, a triple-double? Harden has a triple-double. Irving has 37, Durant has 38, and Durant had 38, 12, and 8, and was 12 of 25 from the floor, 3 of 9 from downtown. Irving was 3 of 8 from downtown. Harden was 3 of 6 from downtown, and you lose. Well, you lose because you don't play defense. They let the Cavs shoot 50% for the game, and they let them shoot or 50% from the three and 51% overall in the game. I mean, they shot 56 of 109, and the Nets were 48 of 106, 15 of 41 from downtown. The Cavs were 20 of 40 from downtown. They had Nance hit three of them. Osman hit four of them. Sexton hit five of them. Okoro hit two of them. Taurean Prince, former Net, hit three of them. Jared Allen, by the way, in the game, a fro man, had 12 and 11 boards. Dotson had 15 and hit three threes. Christ almighty. I mean, the Nets play no defense, no perimeter defense whatsoever. And this is what happens. Offense is not their problem. Ball movement, shot selection, all three of them played great. Everybody says, oh, they can't play well together. They played great together. On one end of the floor, they played great on the offensive end. On defense, they don't play defense. They absolutely let Sexton do whatever he wanted in both overtimes. It was flat out embarrassing. I mean, they just don't play defense. Sexton was drilling threes in Durant's face. He's a 7-footer. The guy's 6 foot tall. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was watching.
If sports talk stations were cars, we'd be the one that you drove the wheels off of in high school, cruising for chicks and going to the game on Friday nights, then forgetting where you parked it till Saturday morning and you had to get your buddy to drive you around looking for it.
I think I see it, man.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
We're on a bench with you, 844-843-6879, toll-free number to call in. And we'll have Gilbert Manzano, our friend from the Southern Cali News Group, join us at 25 past the hour, this very hour. We'll talk about Phillip Rivers retiring, and that was today. By the way, I just saw this story run tonight that Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott is out. And so they announced that the top executive, the commissioner, his tenure will end on June 30th. But they mutually agreed on the decision, even though his contract was set to run through June. So none of that makes sense to me. What I heard is he's done now. And that they're just going to replace him. So I don't know what about, you know, all this June stuff is, but if that's the case, then they're keeping him there till June, which it's, you know, late January now. He said, I was in pro sports for 20 years. I've now been in college athletics for more than 10 years. Now is a good time in my life to pursue other opportunities. This moment when college athletics is moving in a new direction with the conference soon commencing the next round of media negotiations, it seems the right time to make a change. It's important that the conference be able to put in place the person who will negotiate, carry out the next agreement. Based on the recent robust valuation marketplace interest we've received from traditional and non-traditional media organizations, I'm confident the conference is well positioned for continued success. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God. Was that the typical corporate suit response and answer? Here's the story. Larry Scott's out in the Pac-12. There you go. Thanks, Larry. We don't care about all your rhetoric about your new conference television deals. Jesus, I was reading that. I wanted to gouge my eyes out, Mafia. What was that? Like, are you kidding me? Like, wouldn't it have been better if he just told the truth? I did an interview tonight. The guy asked me about my future. And obviously, I know nothing, Mafia, about the future. I leave that up to Mafia. Mafia knows everything about the future. He's like Biff. From Back to the Future. He knows everything, all the scores of games. He also knows all the winners of UFC fights for the next 20 years. And we've had this conversation many times over the years in the car. Bobby and I used to drive. One of his favorite things to do was to drive with me every day to Manhattan to do the show for 15 years. How long did you drive with me for? Like 15 years or something like that? I mean, at least 12. Care.
At least 12.
All right. So every day you had to drive, but you had to drive with me every single day. But every day we drove together, like, because it's so expensive. It's just such a ripoff. I mean, if you do it, it's every day, what is it, $13 every single day just to go over the bridge? And then you pay, like, you know, $16 now, and then what do you pay, another $3 or $4 to get to the bridge? I mean, so it's like $20 a day to drive to work. So if you add that up, it's 100 a week times 52 weeks, whatever it is. So Mavi and I always drove together. And then I used to talk to him about everything. And then do you remember when we used to have conversations about old people in radio?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. You didn't want to become one of them.
Right. And I don't want to be one of them.
You don't
want
to be the guy that's 70 years old, still on the show, and you lost touch, and people are just laughing at you.
Yeah, because that's exactly what happens. And no offense to anyone. I'm not naming names or anything. I just know a bunch of people that do it too long, right? They just refuse to stop doing it. And I mean, there's 80-year-olds calling games. There's 75-year-olds calling games. There's 70-year-olds doing radio and TV. And here's the thing. I don't oppose it. I don't mean to be, you know, difficult or say anything to offend anyone or be into some age discrimination BS or any of that nonsense. I'm just telling you that we used to talk in the car about it all the time, that I don't want to be that guy, that I've never wanted to be, you know, the dude that stayed on too long. And I told this guy tonight in this interview that I just feel like, and I'm being honest, like, I love doing the shows. I've done them for 35 years. People don't realize that. They just think that I showed up yesterday and started doing this on Sports Grid, doing TV and radio. I've been doing national radio for 25 years, and I've been doing radio for 35 years. I've done TV, every kind of TV imaginable, and I've done movies. I've done everything, MTV, I've done game shows, Battle Dome, I've been syndicated nationally on television multiple times, I've done New York television every single day, I'm doing TV now every day, I'm doing radio now every day, I've done it all every day for 35 years. So the guy asked me what I wanted to do, how long I wanted to do it, and I said that I you know, I don't know, I mean, it depends on who wants me. Like, if someone wants me is one problem, because you never know when they're going to get rid of you, because that's what they do in this business, the suits. They plot your ending is what they do. They plot your firing, and they plot your screwing, and they plot your I'm going to give him a crappy offer and see what he does with it. They play all these games, and that's the truth. And they know it. I know it. You know it now, just so we're clear. And I really am not interested in any of that. I'm a cool dude. I don't get all involved in all that nonsense. And I just know that that's what they do, and I'm certain of it, and I'm right, okay? So here's the deal. If someone wants me, that's one thing. Another thing would be that I like, you know, doing a lot of things, Mafia. You know that. I've told you that. I like playing ball more than I like doing the shows. I like laying on the beach in the Caribbean more than I like doing the shows. I like getting some leg more than doing the shows. I like watching games and going to games more than doing the shows. I even put golf on there, and you know I could really care less about golf, but I do like golfing. You know, I guess, like when I go to Cabo or something like that, I like golfing more than I like doing the shows. You know, you and I have gone golfing a lot, and I've watched you drink a case of beer on the golf course, and I've smoked 50 fatties. And the bottom line is, there's a lot of things I like doing better than the show. So when I like if I'm on vacation or something every year, I like those days off where I don't have to do sports and I don't have to get a show ready. Because, you know, Mafia, tell them the truth. Have you ever known anyone like that really honestly prepares for shows like I do? Like, you know, I know everyone does it. They all do it. I'm sure everyone's better than me. Everyone. And certainly everyone I work with is better than me. They're all so savvied with their genius. But you know that I spend a tremendous amount of time getting ready for shows. Is that about right?
Yes, no, absolutely right. Every day. Every day you're working on it. All morning you're getting ready. You do the show. Then in between shows, you're getting ready for the next one.
I just do it all day. Like, I'd say I spend 12 to 15 hours a day doing it, and it's just a pain in my ass, okay? So when I don't do it, it's enjoyable to not do that. Like, when I have a day off, I just don't do anything regarding the shows when I'm off because I need that break. And I've done it for so long, 35 years. Like, I didn't start yesterday. So people ask me all the time, like, how long are you going to do it or whatever? And the guy asked me tonight, I just said, I don't know. But I could see, you know, at most for me, for, you know, just being honest, it would be 10 years. Then I'd be 65 and it'd be over. I don't really want to be the guy that's 75 years old on the air still because he, you know, is going to die if he doesn't do it. I'll probably die before I get there to the finish line at 65 or something like that. Who knows? All right. We got a lot going on. Gilbert Manzano next on Philip Rivers. All right. For all on the bench, Gilbert Manzano is our buddy from the Southern Cali News Group. And he's been on the bench many times. Good to have you back on, Gil. How's everything going, buddy?
Not too bad. You know, I'm kind of hoping for a down part of the NFL season. But as you know, there's a coaching search. Well, they hired a new coach. So after this press conference tomorrow, hopefully I get some downtime. But so far, so good.
So were you surprised at the direction that they went in hiring Brandon Staley?
You know, a little bit, but I'm kind of kicking myself because, you know, after the Rams beat the Seahawks, I really started, you know, doing some heavy research on Brandon Staley, and I really like the guy. It seems like everywhere he goes, he just gets better and better. He's kind of always ahead of the curve. But then after a while, it kind of seemed like it was Brian Daboll's job to lose. So I'm like, okay, all the signs are pointing to Brian Daboll. This has to be the guy. He seemed like the heavy favorite. Let me forget about Brandon Staley. And then Sunday came around, and I was a little surprised because I did not – I was really thinking they were going to go offensive mind the head coach. So that kind of threw me for a loop. So I think for the Chargers, it was a good hire in Brandon Staley. I know he was inexperienced a little bit. I'm a little bit surprised that they actually kind of went from the norm.
Did they ever, because I'm with you, I thought Daboll would get the job. I was saying that on Pharrell Coast to Coast on the TV show on Sports Grid in the afternoon. And I was saying that I thought, you know, the same thing. So what happened? How did he go from being the favorite? Did they ever interview him or was he caught up in the Bills playoff run and they just never got around to it and they hired Staley? Because that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, you know, the only thing, you know, with the Chargers, they're very secretive when it comes to anything that's potential big change in move from free agency to trades to, you know, hiring a coach. They wouldn't even announce completed interviews on their Twitter account. Every other team, there were seven vacancies. Six teams announced the interviews. The Chargers were the only one that didn't. So they like to keep things in the wraps. So it's a little hard to kind of figure out what happened. But, you know, going off Tom Telesco, the general manager's press conference, the end of the year press conference, everything he said in the press conference kind of came to fruition. So I go back to that press conference and kind of listen to the words he said. And it sounded like he wanted to keep it an open mind, cast a wide net, look for a leader that could not just help the offense, but the defense, special teams, and also, you know, the coaching staff and represent their organization in the right way. So you kind of go back to that. I know there was some connection there with the John Kerry University, with Tom Telesco being – that's his alma mater, and Staley, you know, being the D coordinator there a couple years ago. But I think when they sat down with the eight candidates, there was eight reported candidates from Jason Garrett, Eric Bieniemy, Joe Brady, Brian Daboll, and Brandon Staley, Robert Saleh, the list goes on. I think that's where they kind of gave all the candidates a fair shot. And I think that's the right approach. When you're hiring a head coach, you want to give these guys a fair shot and not have a guy in your head and kind of, okay, well, let me kind of, you know, figure out the Rooney rule and kind of get some minority candidates out the way. And then we'll get our guy. Like maybe, I don't know, I'm not saying the Jaguars did that, but with the Jaguars, they have Urban Meyer locked in. I think with the Chargers, I think they got blown away by Brandon Staley. They probably heard him out like they did the other candidates, and he was the best one. And I think that's where maybe he won the job, because Brian Dale wasn't asked to come back for a second interview. I know they really could him because of the playoffs, but I think Brandon Staley just won the job from the first interview.
Wow. Gilbert Manzano with us on the bench. So talk to me about we discussed it today on Coast to Coast, and I've talked, I think, at some level with you about it before. I could be tripping, but I know I've talked about this guy and his Hall of Fame, opportunities here. Do you believe that when Rivers retired today, basically, and called it quits, when you look at his body of work and you look at all those yards, fifth all time and everything else, the numbers are staggering, but the postseason, he went to a lot of playoffs, and he went to title games and everything else. He just never got it done. Do you believe, because I said today, I don't think he's first ballot. I think at some level he would get in to the Hall of Fame in Canton. At some point he'll get in. But stranger things have happened where guys don't get in. Do you think he's automatic for the Hall of Fame, or do you think it's a sticky situation?
You know, I think I'm with you. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think he's definitely a Hall of Famer. It might take him some time, but I think after maybe the third or fourth time, I think you should get in. I'm going to compare him to Dan Marino, but Dan Marino had all the numbers, and he was by far one of the maybe top five greatest quarterbacks of all time. But when you're looking at Philip Rivers, he gets knocked for not winning a Super Bowl. I know Dan Marino went to a Super Bowl, maybe that helped him overall. So if you're going based on numbers, Philip Rivers, he was top five in touchdowns, passing yards, and a bunch of other passer rating. I don't think passer was top five, but it was top 10. But if you're going based on numbers, Philip Rivers has that. The only knock on Rivers is the winning. So that's why I go back to Dan Marino, because he didn't do the winning, but obviously he was top-notch talent, and you can't dispute it. But I feel like with the numbers, I think Rivers has it. Maybe the overall, you know, flashy skills, you know, bona fide, you know, once in a generation talent maybe is not there. But if you look at the body work from the early San Diego years, I think he went to the playoffs 4 years in a row. It might have been four AFC West titles in a row. He went to one AFC championship game with the torn ACL there against the Patriots. I know they kind of maybe, you know, they blew some chances when they were 14-2 one year with Marty Schottenheimer, and they were stacked with LT and Antonio Gates and all those guys. And Sean Merriman. So he had opportunities. But early on, he made the playoffs. He was consistent. He had a couple of years in the later years, 2013. He made it to the divisional round, and most recently in 2018. Actually, in this past year, 2020, with the Colts. So he's been in with two teams. I think he should get in, and I know people are disputing it right now. But I think you look at the body of work, especially also, we forget, this guy, he waited 2 years behind Drew Brees. After that, he did not miss a start. He came to play every day. I know he didn't want to do quarterback sneaks because he wanted to protect himself. But to kind of, you know, again, torn ACL, injury after injury, and be counted on every Sunday, I think that should go a long way. And I think he does deserve to be in canon one day.
So Gilbert Manzano with us on the bench. We're talking about Philip Rivers. So I don't argue with any of the, fifth all-time in passing yards, fifth all-time in touchdowns, second all time in starts. I don't, unless I'm crazy, he never missed a start. That's more amazing to me than the numbers. I will say this, that, I mean, that's phenomenal. But I will say that I do not believe, and we talked about it today, and we said this, and I Carver High, my other producer, said it on the air. He said, you know, because I would never, I'm just being honest, he is not as good as Dan Marino, okay? That's why Dan Marino's already in there. Dan Marino played in a different time than Philip Rivers. And what Dan Marino did in the NFL with the Dolphins when he played was so much more remarkable than what Philip Rivers did in his time, in his era in the NFL. It's not even funny. But I will say this, like previously mentioned, I think he gets in, but I think it's going to take a while. And I think for me, I'm not so blown away. If you play 17 years and you never miss a game, you're going to put up numbers and you're going to throw for touchdowns in the NFL. That's what he does. He's a throwing quarterback. That's all he did. He wasn't a runner. He was a thrower. He slung it all over. I used to make fun of my with my kid. We'd play catch and with the football on a beach in San Diego or whatever, and we'd throw the ball all day. And he'd say, "Who are you today?" And I'd always say, "I'm Philip Rivers." And he'd say, "Why would you ever want to be Philip Rivers?" And he said, "He throws like a girl." And I went, "He had touch, baby. Your boy, he slung it all day with that little sidearm, little whip. He never brought the ball back once. He just threw that little flick, that little sidearm flick or whatever you want to call it. When you think of him throwing the ball, what do you think of him as a quarterback? Like, you never saw him, like, strong-arm it, and he was more of a touch guy, wasn't he?"
Yeah, isn't it weird that he made that weird throwing motion last for 17 years and not miss a start and be that accurate the way he was and kind of maybe distribute the ball? Because, man, this guy had touch because he was kind of, I know checkdowns are not the best, but he made pretty much a lot of running backs become, you know, receiving running backs from Austin Eckler to Danny Woodhead to Darren Sproles. So he had accuracy and also, you know, the deep touch. So Mike Williams, Malcolm Floyd, Vincent Jackson to the route runners to Keenan Allen, the tight ends, Antonio Gates, Hunter Henry. So any type of throw you wanted, he had it for you. It was an awkward motion. Right. It looked kind of weird, but he made it work year in and year out. So I think that is one thing for him is the accuracy, the touch, and also just kind of the determination, the will, competitive. I know he got the interceptions were a knock on him because maybe he was forcing too many throws, but he always went down swinging. He didn't want to miss a start. And I think for maybe the knock on Rivers is that he didn't, when it came to these comeback wins or final game winning drives or in the playoffs, or, you know, he threw an interception untimely once. Maybe he's kind of more similar to the Brett Favre, kind of like, you know, pedal to the metal kind of thing and figure out, you know, just sling it out there and see what happens. So I think Brett Favre had the Super Bowl and he had the MVP, so maybe that's not a good comparison, but that was kind of the playing style for him. And you're right, you know, definitely he's not Dan Marino. I just kind of use that comparison because he didn't win a Super Bowl. He actually went to one, so maybe it's not a good comparison. But I think over time, people are going to appreciate that longevity, competitiveness, and accuracy, and kind of just how he loved it. And also, you know how it is. If you're loving the media and people like you, the guy who are making the votes, that's going to help you at the end of the day. So I think over time, he probably will get in. But I think overall, it was a stellar career.
No doubt about it, Gilbert. I think the guy also, his personality was so funny when they mic'd him up, and the way he talked and never swore and had all those funny sideline rants. I think his popularity is going to get him in there eventually. Gilbert, I got to run. Good having you on the bench. Thanks, buddy.
You're listening to the source of live odds, line matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. But we just call it the winning edge. Keep it here.
There's plenty to go around.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So, for On the Bench, 844-843-6879 is the toll-free number to get on the bench. I, you know, was talking about Larry Scott. He's out in the Pac-12. Basically, sounds like he wants to do other things. And then Philip Rivers called it a day after 17 years in the NFL. And we just talked to Gilbert Manzano about it. And I was talking about people asking me in an interview I did tonight about how long I would keep doing, you know, radio and TV shows. And the funny thing is like I was mentioning, is that I don't, you know, I don't really want this to be about me or whatever, because I don't have any plans on stopping doing it. So don't get the wrong impression. All I'm telling you is that, you know, the thing for me is I've done it for 35 years. People don't realize that. They always think that I, you know, started yesterday doing this. And I've done it for so long, nationally for 25 plus years, 35 years overall. I've done it literally every year since I was 18, nonstop. And at some point, you just, you know, get burned out. And I think it sometimes, and Mafia's known that. I've always told him, like, you know, throughout the years when I'm burned out, or whatever, and I just do it too much, and I'm, you know, pretty intense when I do it, whatever, over the years, that there's other things, you know, I want to do in life. He knows that. Like, you know, I'd rather surf. I'd rather skateboard. I'd rather ski. I'd rather lay on a beach, like I said, in the Caribbean. I'd rather, you know, travel the world, things like that. I like going all over the world. This has been the worst year ever. I've never left anywhere or gone anywhere because of the COVID. And, you know, I hear these people, I want to do other things. I hear people say, if I didn't do the radio show, I'd be dead. I don't really think that's me, right? Like, I don't want to do anything else. I don't, in terms of jobs or careers or, you know, people say, well, would you ever want to be in management or programming or stuff like that? I don't see that either. I don't see me doing anything like that. And so I'm just going to do it until I don't want to do it anymore, or they don't want me to do it anymore because they nobody wants me anymore type thing, because that happens too. And then we've seen a lot of people over the years, Mafia and I, where they just leave them on the air because they don't want to fire them because they've been there so long. They don't want to be the bad guy. Meanwhile, they should have left. They should have retired. They should have gone to greener pastures, or they should have fired him because, you know, it's just not working anymore. And they just keep him on the air forever. And it just, that doesn't cut the mustard for me. I don't want to be that guy. But Philip Rivers walking away from football, I'm not surprised at all he walked away. What I was saying before is that he wants to do other things. He wants to coach high school football, and God only knows where that'll lead to, right? But he's going to allegedly coach high school football in Alabama, and who knows? Maybe he'll end up coaching. Maybe he'll go to college football. Who knows what he's going to do? Maybe he'll be an NFL coach. Maybe he'll be an NFL head coach. Who knows? You never know, right? But the thing I was saying about him was is that he was so funny with his behavior, right? Like his swearing, he never swore on the field. So he always made up words for, you know, he was like a dang gummit kind of guy. And I don't know all the things he said, but I know you've heard him.
I don't want to swear, but what the bleep are you doing, dude?
Like, that was actual footage from the Colts-Bills game. Can we listen to that again? This is Philip Rivers in the third quarter.
I don't want to swear, but what the bleep are you doing, dude?
That's a dramatic footage that we've obtained for you, the listeners. But anyway, he did so many funny things when he was mic'd up on the sidelines and on the field that, you know, at some level, I think, and people may say I'm crazy, but I think at some level, they actually, those things end up paying off for you in the long run, you know, down the road. You know what I mean? Like, I think people like Philip Rivers so much for his just his ways and who he is and what he's all about and his that clean mouth language, competitive drive he had. He was always the guy talking shack, but never swearing doing it. Do you realize how hard that is? So I know all about that. because when I did the show on Howard 101 on Sirius, and I worked for Howard on the Stern channels, I did the dirtiest, filthiest, most repulsive, disgusting, foul-mouthed show you've ever heard in your life. I mean, absolutely triple X. And I mean, filthier than that even. It was awesome. Then I went and did the CBS national show, and it was rated G, Vatican Radio, and I couldn't say anything. And I literally couldn't say anything dirty ever, right? And somehow I did it, and I made up, like, words and phrases to get me through it where I was actually using those words as swear words, right? Mafia knows what I'm talking about. Like, I don't give a shack and all that, and all the things that we said that were meant to be, you know, rants of foul-mouthed, repulsive swearing. And he never did that. And I had to live that life, too, where I had to stay clean when I was so dirty before. Like, I was like a porn pedal. I was like, you know, I should have been working for Larry Flint. But my point is that Rivers is so good at doing it clean and cussing, you know, cussing clean, basically, and lighting people up and talking trash and arguing with refs and coaches and talking on the sideline and in the game, that I think, and I know this sounds crazy, Mafia, but I think it's actually going to help him get into the Hall of Fame. He was such a character and such a freak as a quarterback that he did that, that I think that they're going to put him in the Hall of Fame because he has this reputation as being this, you know, he's like a priest, but he never swore, and he kept his mouth clean the entire time. And meanwhile, he was the most competitive, ultra, trash-talking, in-your-face, pointing fingers at guys, getting in their face, talking smack to them all the time, but never swearing. In the end, his numbers are good enough. His yards fifth all-time, touchdowns fifth all-time, starts number two all time, and he had the funniest mouth in the history of the NFL for a guy that never swore once, and he had like nine kids. I mean, that alone gets you in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, you see that all the time. With how many guys do we see, you know, not necessarily just in football, but in all sports, you know, people have to vote to put you into these Hall of Fames, and if they don't like you, they're not going to vote for you. You know, that's why guys like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, not just the cheating, is that they hated those guys because they were jerks. You know, the same thing with the NFL, all these guys. Like, if you have someone who's just a tool and they don't like the media or other players, you know, teammates, then they're not going to put you in. That's going to hurt you. But a guy like that, who, like you said, they had such a personality. When people talk about his trash talking, like, they laugh about it. Like, no one could even get mad at the guy because of the not cursing. Like, they thought it was hilarious how he would talk trash, but talk trash like he was like a 7-year-old because he wouldn't curse. And there was actually a great story, too. I saw J.J. Watt tweeted out that, you know, he let you appreciate how, like, smart the guy is, too. Because, you know, you hear about all these other guys like Brady, Manning, you know, Rodgers, how smart they are. You don't really hear that enough about Rivers. Is that he was saying there was one time they were playing them, and, you know, he knew what the blitz that they were going to run, which one was coming. Like, he could see the formation. He knew what they were going to do, and actually pointed at the linebacker and said, "Hey, 54, you're in the wrong spot." And he was completely right. The linebacker was out of position for the blitz the guy was going to run. He knew it was coming and told the guy he wasn't even in the right spot. That was like his version of trash talk. It wasn't like, "I'm going to curse your head out. I'm going to talk about your mom." It's like, "I'm going to tell you, you don't even know what you're doing on your own defense. I know more than you about your side of the ball."
Did you see the stories over the years that he, you know, he lived modestly, had a Ford F-250, he wore cowboy boots, real ones, plain brown, nothing made of a swamp creature, a rare bird. His dress shirts are Western cut, shiny buttons. He customized an SUV after the Chargers moved to L.A. He decided not to move eventually in order to make the 80-mile one-way commute. He spent $200,000 to convert a large SUV into a rolling film room. The rear seats were torn out and replaced by two forward-facing, fully reclinable seats. 40-inch TV screen was installed in the cabin divider, and satellite TV, Wi-Fi, and a cooler were installed. And he hired a driver. He sat in the back and watched videos the whole way every day to drive up to L.A. and go to work and go to practice. It's just crazy. I think, you know, he's done everything, too. Charities, you name it, all over San Diego, Los Angeles. everything he did, his career shines. And I think that his reputation, his personality, his whole act on and off the field, and his stats, and his Pro Bowls and everything else, and all the playoff trips, there's no way they keep him out of Canton. But I still don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer because of, you know, just the fact that, you know, I know that it's like, I know the argument about Dan Marino again. I'm not going to go there. Marino was better. Okay. So there's very few people in football that would argue that. So let's not go there. I just don't feel, and I know he didn't win a Super Bowl, but he was better. And then, you know, Rivers didn't get it done either. And I've argued about this today. Eli Manning and Roethlisberger have four rings. And Roethlisberger went to three Super Bowls. He won two of them. And Eli beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick twice. That gets you in automatic. Because when Manning did it, he did it in an era where Bill Belichick dominated pro football. Dominated pro football. Literally, it was 20 years of total domination. You don't go to that many Super Bowls. You don't win that many Super Bowls. You don't win that many division titles and not be considered the best, the greatest of all time. I mean, literally, you know, people could argue all day long that he's better than Lombardi or anybody, Bill Belichick. And then, you know, Eli Manning beat him twice. Tom Brady's got six rings. He went to nine Super Bowls, and he lost three. He lost twice to Eli Manning, and then he lost to Nick Foles, for Christ's sakes. So if you beat Eli Manning, beats him twice, and you beat Bill Belichick twice in the Super Bowl, you got two rings. You're getting in. And Roethlisberger goes to three and wins two. And the way he won the second one against Arizona with the pass to Holmes, he's going to Canton. That's all there is to it. And then you get a guy like Rivers. Rivers, to me, waits to get in. That's it. I think they'll put him in eventually. And, you know, at the end of the day, I know that people get all bent out of shape about when you go in, first ballot or otherwise. As far as I'm concerned, you know, it's the old Tom Flores thing. You don't think that guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame at this point after making him suffer all these years? Just let him in, for God's sakes. What's the point of all this torture? I think they're going to do the same thing to Philip Rivers, but not as bad as Flores. I think Rivers is going to get in. It's just going to take a few times. Four or five cracks at it, he'll get in. I also think the Hall of Fame in the NFL is a joke, the way they come out with a list of 100 and some players and then whittle it down to the couple that get in. I think that's a joke, too. And baseball is the hardest one to get in. So just to, you know, get it out of my system one last time, I still have a problem with, I think like most people in San Diego have a problem with, the franchise, the owner, the city, the fight. I'm not Mr. Inside on this skinny of the whole leaving and going to Los Angeles thing. I've talked about it with Scott Kaplan several times, but I just know that, you know, I never thought they should have left, and that's just all there is to it. And I thought he was the best thing that ever happened to that franchise down there. And it was just so great when they played in San Diego. There's, you know, teams like that, the Sonics should have never left Seattle, in my opinion. I understand why the Raiders left Oakland and went to L.A. and then went back and then moved to Vegas. They've been moving around like somebody in the military. But the bottom line is, Philip Rivers, what he did for the Chargers, what he did for San Diego is unequaled. And he's, you know, rock star there for life. I have no idea about this whole Alabama high school coaching thing. I don't know what that's about. I don't know what, you know, I don't even know. Like, I didn't follow his whole life and everything when he, obviously since college in the NFL, but I don't know what his ties are to Alabama and everything. Maybe his childhood or something. I don't even know. But that's what he's going to do. So God bless him. And let's see where his life goes from here. When we come back, we'll talk about all the crazy NBA games tonight. A wild finish, a buzzer beater in that Magic T-Wolves game. Cole Anthony coming up big. It's Pharrell on a bench.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.